Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
You know, that song, or this song that's playing right now, it reminds me of those commercials for, like, people who are dealing with, like, joint problems or that are, like, hurting to some degree. It's like, you know, my elbow joint was killing me, but with whatever drug or whatever, it's feeling better than ever. Side effects include nausea, headache, drowsiness, a little bit of dreariness or whatever, but my elbow feels great. Is that not what that song sounds like?
I'm going to give you this one. That's funny. Because I can't remember the name of the song, but it's like one of the all-time great, like, summertime hits.
You ain't kidding.
From the 80s.
It's like my stuffed nose is not going to stop me from enjoying outside. Thanks, Clarence and Claire.
But you speak about it in the fact that people who were around at that time when it was that particular status of a song, mm-hmm. These people have joint issues now.
Well, so, that was an unintentional
like
40, consequence.
It's like of that. A 40-year-old song anyway.
And I believe it's The Walk of Life by Dire Straits is what that song is.
Which, there you go. So we're talking Dire Straits. That is 1980s.
Yeah.
Especially, if not 70s. But I think of Dire Straits, I think about Money for Nothing and Your Chicks for Free.
Money for Nothing. Dude,
I want my MTV.
Great song. Uh-huh. I want my MTV. Well, that's an unintentional side effect of that as well. I didn't even think about that.
It was
so
probably one of the first digital music videos out there at the time. Have you ever seen that video?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean. I've seen that video. Yeah. That's one of the old school greats that, like, yo, that's original MTV right there.
That's original MTV right there. But, yeah, no, those are the kind of commercials where everybody is smiling while they lift off every single thing of people vomiting, having nausea and dizziness and dreariness and drowsiness, and you may fall asleep at random places and random times all throughout the day, but hey, it's going to work great for this one little thing that you need it for. But I guess, you know, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Coming soon to Harden House. We're going to do that.
we very well might as well. I guess while we're on the topic of it right now, this whole entire show is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. It is America's number one vodka for a reason, because it's handmade, distilled over, I think it's like 5 or 6 times right in the heart of Texas with the, you know, in those little copper pipes or whatever it is that they're distilled in. 5 times distilled just right, and you can do just about anything that you need to do with it. Go anywhere, you can find Tito's, and you can make a lemon drop out of it, because you're not supposed to worry, you're not supposed to fret, you're not supposed to freak out about anything. When life gives you lemons, you make a lemon drop. You just make sure that's with the best, and that is Tito's Handmade Vodka. Before we get to the NBA, I want to talk a little bit about the CBA.
Okay.
The Chinese Basketball Association.
Uh-oh.
Did you hear about J. Cole joining the Ninjiang Monkey Kings?
No, but I don't think that's a bad move for the Ninjiang Monkey Kings.
Well, it was interesting, to say the least. Rapper J. Cole's debut for this team was interesting. He totaled 0 points. He went 0 for 5 in field goals. He had a rebound and an assist and played 8 minutes. And now we get word today.
He took 5 shots in 8 minutes.
He took 5 shots in 8 minutes, but he got an assist and he got a rebound. And now we have word that the Monkey Kings have officially waived J. Cole.
Yeah, you can't come out there in 8 minutes and take 5 shots. One assist. Did you foul anybody, J. Cole? I mean, geez.
I don't know if he played any defense. He had 0 blocks, 0 steals, 0 steals, and 0 points. So the Ninjiang Monkey Kings are now without well-renowned rapper J. Cole at the helm. So
Master P had a better run with the Raptors.
Yeah. Well, I mean, props to him for at least going out and trying. Yeah. He tried to chase the dream.
Language barrier. He probably didn't understand offense.
One of my favorite things, because so you know when somebody like popular or something goes out and tries for like the NBA or whatever, that one of the top funny comments is like, get ready to learn Chinese, buddy, because they're about to send you overseas to play in the CBA.
Well, he skipped a step and went to China.
So one of the top comments that I saw for J. Cole trying out CBA was, get ready to learn English, buddy, because he's going to have to come back overseas. He's going to have to come back overseas and I guess try to, I guess, stick with the rap game or do something different. But
just don't go to Lithuania like LaMelo Ball did.
No, you will not survive, because there is a guy there who was born there, Jonas Valanciunas. My favorite beard in the game, my favorite basketball player in the game. And as you so gracefully mentioned to me, for the first time in his career, he is not playing in a play-in NBA playoff game.
This is history, because he was a part of every
he was one of the greatest play-in players of all time.
Although I did see the stat this morning that Trae Young is the play-in points total leader.
Well, now he is.
Right.
Now he is. Because Jonas has graduated from such trivial things and is now on to bigger and brighter things. So while we have switched the conversation over, who better to talk about the NBA playoffs than the historian with my man Jay Ham here? The playoffs are set. It's going to look really, really interesting. So let's first start off over in the East. You've got the Charlotte Hornets, which the Charlotte Hornets right now have got a really good duo. Statistically speaking, with Concanip and LaMelo Ball. They both have become, I guess, the modern-day Splash Brothers, because both of them respectively hit over 273 pointers this year. Con Knipple beat him out by one. I think he had 273. LaMelo Ball had 272.
Matching the Splash Brothers, the only duo that did it twice.
Yeah, only other duo to do it. I don't think the term Splash Brothers needs to apply to them yet. I don't think that because look, there's a yes, statistically speaking, it's there, but I think, you know, vibe and swag style there, it's there with LaMelo. Don't know if it's there yet for Concanipple. I don't want to judge him too harshly, though.
Yeah, create their own moniker for that one.
Yeah, because they can come up with something.
I mean, because LaMelo will go down as one of the great three ball shooters, and I think I think so. If he doesn't catch Steph, he's going to catch Clay.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I mean, it's just a matter of getting the reps up.
Yeah.
You know, because this dude can flat out shoot the basketball
anywhere on the floor. Is LaMelo's shooting style interesting to you? Because it looks like the dude doesn't jump at all.
He really doesn't.
It looks like he just kind of shuffles his feet forward and launches and just drains in.
It's where we're taught to shoot the basketball with our legs.
Yeah.
And he really doesn't. He's kind of more of a spring thing, and he shoots it with his arms and his wrist rotation.
Really interesting.
But he's got a good jumper. But
he does.
I said it's interesting, but he doesn't shoot a textbook jumper at all.
No, not at all. dude, just real quickly to go back to golf, I mean, that's one of the things that I'm like, seeing Cam Young hit the golf ball gives me like a little bit of angst, because I don't know if you've watched him hit the ball. What he does is he loads up for his swing and he pauses at the top and then he goes down and hits it, rather than it being one smooth swing.
Is it kind of like a clean version of what Charles Barkley does?
Because
Charles is kind of herky-jerky with it. He gets to the top. Yeah.
But like, he goes there and it looks like he's like, oh yeah, I got to hit this thing, but let me make sure I'm doing it right. And then he comes through and hits. I don't know. It works for him, clearly. He plays T3 in the Masters.
When they're at their professional level and they perfected it to where they want it and it works, they just go
You really can't argue. You really can't argue with the results that the guy is showing. But, you know, that's one of those things. It's to each their own. But looking at the Hornets, they will be playing against the Miami Heat in the play-in for the first round of the Eastern Conference. Who do you like here? Who do you like between the Hornets and the Heat?
I don't like the trajectory that the Heat have been on, because Bam had made a point. I'm tired of playing in the play-in. You know,
why don't you just score 83 points every night?
Because it'll gas him out, and he'll be like James Harden in game 6 or 7 out here. He won't have no energy when it comes to the end.
Yeah, true.
You know, but that whole Miami Heat culture thing that they go by, which is really get people in the gym, work the hell out of them for four and a half, 5 hours a day, even if they're like the most marginally talented best talented players, they get the most out of those. But ultimately, this is the end result.
Yeah.
They get in the play-in round. They'll finish north of 45 wins or whatever the case, but you're in the bottom end of it and you're playing for a spot to get in. And then once you get into that, you have no home court advantage, no other way like that. So it should be Charlotte. I keep going back to my guy Jay Morgan, though. He doesn't believe that Charlotte is a serious team, mainly because he don't take LaMelo as a serious player. I understand what he looks at on that because he's a staunch just basket. You thought I was a basketball head. I got nothing on Jay Morgan.
Wow. You know? High accolades there because you are the, you're the historian for it. You interesting. Know, it,
but because he's a coach also by nature, too. So it's okay, a lot of things that just kind of really get able to irritate him in that sense. But I love the job that Charles Lee has done in terms of just getting his team to dial in and play hard every night.
They're an exciting team to watch. Very exciting team to watch.
For years, they spent years on my ban from TV list. I took them off around December. I was like, yeah, they're having fun.
Yeah.
Let's keep watching them. And they kept. They became not just off the ban from TV list. I started giving them some priority on nights. I'm like, yeah, what time is Charlotte playing? Are they playing early? You know, I can watch them first and whatever.
I think one of my favorite things about the Charlotte team is their TV announcer, Eric Collins. If you've listened to
him. With him and Dale Curry, they're great.
Oh, well, I mean, Eric is the, oh, my goodness, who is it? He's a college football announcer,
Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson. Yeah. He is that equivalent. He's the dude who loses his mind and gets hyped over awesome plays. Right.
They called, I think, the Friday game on Prime between the Cavs and the Hawks.
Yeah.
They were doing the Prime coverage, those two, and everything that you just said, the energy, it was like, the game was a blowout.
Oh, it was
but
incredible.
I stayed with the game because it was great energy.
Oh, yeah, because LaMelo jumps up and he's like, LaMelo! Ah!
And it wasn't even a Hornets game. This was like a national game. Yeah. They called this one for Prime. So it was just like, oh, yeah, their energy is always great. But like you said, even when they call in their you know, the Hornets, it's great energy.
I mean, it is great energy. And I love the fact of that. I mean, I think that, too, has also drawn a lot of attention to this Hornets team. So did I just completely skimp over who you like in this game, who you expect to win?
I'm going
to
go with the Hornets.
I'm with you. I think the Hornets get it done over the Heat.
Free Bam.
Yes. Free Bam. So I see that, too. I see the Hornets moving on. How about Sixers versus the Magic?
I'm going to go ahead and just pull the plug on the Magic, free Jamal Mosley. It's time for him to get out of there. It's just not going to work. They probably will have a few personnel changes in Orlando. Although, salute to Desmond Bane playing all 82. Got out of Memphis and found out that you can not be injured.
Yeah.
Not that he was injured while he was here, but
he was one of the few that didn't. This is something huge that I will live or die by, and is the fact that you look at Desmond and he's not built like a normal basketball player.
Very true.
Dude's got a shoulder routine that I got to get his workout from him so that I can implement it too to get those size shoulders. But the fact of the matter is that Desmond Bane is a big boy. He goes into the gym and it shows, and he's going to be protected on the court because you have muscle to protect you from the falls, from the contact, from everything else in between. And like you just mentioned, all 82 games he played, and he's been on the court, and he's been doing great.
He was very good for them this year. You know, even though it might not end for team-wise, it might not end the way that, you know, in a progressive manner that he hoped, thought he was very solid.
Yeah.
You know, in the first season, away from where he's been for, the last 6 years? Yeah, 5-6 years or so. Yeah, he did a solid, man.
Yeah, I'm exactly with you there. So you got the Sixers moving on over the Magic. Okay, I don't disagree with you there. How about, this is something that I've been meaning to ask all the basketball guests that I have the honor of talking to, and that is the Raptors. I feel like they're a very under-the-radar team that not a lot of people have been focusing on, but have been sneakily good this year. Raptors and Cavaliers, I mean, obviously I think the heavy favorite is the Cavaliers. You got the Harden, you've got the Beard, you've got Donovan Mitchell still out there doing things. I think they're a proven team that's going to make a good run. But what about the Raptors?
I want to give them a game or two in this series, but I don't think that they'll win the series because of everything that you just said. They're young, they're building up. Scottie Barnes, in my opinion, probably the slept-on
candidate for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
He's that good on that end. And just a complete all-around player. Brandon Ingram is back being Brandon Ingram, not injured, scoring the basketball. Got a lot of young dudes around him, too. They got my man that was at Houston a couple years ago, the point guard. I can't think of his name. Jamal Sheed. Mm-hmm. He's been playing well for them. Emmanuel Quickley's been outstanding for them this year, 17, 18 a game or whatever the case. R.J. Barrett, still R.J. Barrett, So they just found their groove. And I saw where their old GM, Masai Ujiri, recently bought into ownership with the crew. So it's like he's back with them, and that's this time in a higher scale. And he won a championship for those people, so he may be – mixing it up to try to do something else again.
I think you do that, and you combine them going back to their old school Raptor logo.
Yeah.
You've got a potent mix there.
But I think Cleveland will get them in about five. That can be one of those series where the underdog extends it further than what it should go.
Right.
And it kind of applies that playoff stress on the team that's favored because, we got it done in six, but we really were supposed to get it done in less than six.
Yeah.
And it carries over to that next series.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I've been seeing how this Raptors team, I mean, they're just, like you said, they're young and they're up and building, so definitely a team to look out for going in the future. All right, Knicks and the Hawks. I feel like, obviously, Knicks are – it's theirs to lose. It's theirs to lose. It's theirs to completely give away. Hawks, good team, but I just don't think they have it in them to overcome how good of a New York team we have right here.
Another one that could go six or seven that could be fun, really fun, because you have – C.J. McCollum, who can wake up and go get 25, 30 any given
drop
day.
Anything.
And with Nikhil Walker-Alexander, who will be the most improved player this year, for him to go from 9 points a game to a solid 20 to double
that's
his
a
point
jump.
Total
that's
per
a jump.
Game. You know, that's just – and then the best player on this squad is Jalen Johnson, all the way around. They can make that real scary for New York, or New York could just totally come in, handle business, and dispatch, get those dudes out of there four, maybe the gentleman sweeping five. I like New York for it, but I'm hoping that we get a good classic one out of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's the hope for
two great coaches with Quinn Snyder, Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I love what New York is doing, but we Greg and Eli talked about this on the morning show. If that New York team doesn't get to the finals, they might be on the mend of breaking that one up, too.
They very well could. I think you're right on the money. I think that would be a disappointing year if they don't make it that far. I think the biggest surprise, we mentioned it a little bit, is the Boston Celtics. I know for the Sports Time show, I was the only one that really included them being in the playoffs. I think everybody heard Jason Tatum's out. Okay, well, this team's not going to do anything. I think I had them playing in the play-in, but the fact that they're number two right now is great. I know we just heard from Terry Davis that he does not want Boston to move on, which, to each their own. But I think with what they've been doing, if they make it past the first round, I think that is more than enough for the kind of year that they've had.
The basketball minds that they have making basketball decisions are making great basketball decisions for them. Mm-hmm. Brad Stevens, he was been doing this since he was at Butler.
Yeah,
just putting it together, pulling the best out of people that we don't know.
Yeah,
how many of us really even knew or thought of Baylor Shearman?
Not me.
Prior till, but
I'll raise
dude,
my hand.
He'd been lighting it up, though. I mean, and filling his role. Peyton Pritchard, he maxed out with Peyton Pritchard. Everything that they lost from their championship team, they pretty much kind of replenished since then. And then to add Vucevic at the deadline, I thought that was a big key for them.
Yeah.
That may actually be enough to get them over the hump, especially now that you have Tatum back looking like Jason Tatum.
Yeah, so they, according to you, Boston would be taking on the 76ers if the Sixers move on.
Old school blood feud, Dr. J, Larry Bird, they would probably be pleased, but I think Red Auerbach Company will prevail there.
Man, the Sixers is another logo that needs to go back.
It does.
That old school red, 76. Black, gold. Oh, my.
Oh, you're talking the 90s one. The one that they were like the jerseys.
With AI.
The Iverson version. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's really the best one, though.
Oh, my.
The Dr. J one is the most classic and nostalgic, but that's the best one.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Oh, Looks so good. But so how much of the Pistons does it – because, I mean, down the stretch, the Pistons played good without Cade Cunningham. I think surprisingly so.
8-3, I think, without Cade.
Yeah. So obviously having Cade back is going to booster them much.
Salute to Danis Jenkins. You know, because,
and Jalen Duren.
Oh, Jalen Duren, absolutely. But I'm looking at it from Danis Jenkins from this standpoint. This is a JUCO kid.
Yeah.
Undrafted, coming in. He let's call it for what it was. He took Jaden Ivey's spot.
He did.
You know, it's
he
just did. What it was. And then it didn't help for Jaden that he was injured and then everything else that came along with that. But he showed up and it was available.
Yeah.
And was outstanding in his availability. And they earned him a full-time contract. But I think they're a year away from really being that one to turn the corner and to be that contender and to go ahead and win the East and to be that dominant team in the East. I think they may be 1 year away, but they may do it this year. They may be there.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do make it that far. So who is your favorite to win the East?
Originally, I went with New York, and I almost wanted to stay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But what Joe Mazzulla has been able to do, and the elevation that they've been able to get, and they got their really 1A or 1B, wherever you want to slot him at, they got him back too. I got to go with Boston.
Boston, wow. From not even making the playoffs in a lot of people's predictions
to winning,
you had a 50-win year. I mean, that's incredible for them. All right, so I'm not mad at that at all. Real quickly, on the other side, we've got the Clippers, who have definitely been fighting to stay in this thing against the Warriors, who I know has been a little bit tattered and beaten up this year. Between these two guys, I feel like the Clippers have a little bit more experience on the court. Kawhi Leonard, you can never really count him out. What do you like between these guys?
The one time in this series between these two, I'm going to have to go with the Clippers.
Because
the Warriors always won out on these, whether it was Steph and Clay, whatever the case may have been. But the Warriors, just like you mentioned, they've been battered and beaten up all year.
Yeah.
Steph, I don't think, even played 40 games or whatever the case. Mm-hmm. Steph being around makes it fun.
It does.
But I know it's not going to last long.
No.
But if the trade-off is that I get a healthy Kawhi, all right, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I can't be mad at that at all. The other play-in game will be the Suns and the Trailblazers, which I believe the Trailblazers kind of surprised a lot of people even making it this far this year. They surprised me.
They
definitely surprised me. Suns and Trailblazers, who you got?
Before we even go into that, I just want to say go ahead and get that job to Tiago Splitter. He's done a great job with them.
Mm-hmm.
Let that
Earned
man
it.
Have a gig. Keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
I think they put up a great fight against Phoenix, but I think in the end, Devin Booker, with his experience, just takes over. Grayson Allen will give a good game. Colin Gillespie making big shots. Dylan Brooks being the great antagonist and barely making a great play like he did when he was in Memphis and they took Golden State out in the playoffs. 5 years ago, whatever that was. So I like the Suns in a close one with that one.
I like
because
that.
I think then it's going to bring that smoke.
Yeah. I like that too. One of the set in stone playoff games, Lakers and the Rockets. I think this is going to be a really good series, but I think a lot of this depends on if we get Luka and Austin Reeves back. LeBron, great. Unbelievable. He's still doing what he's doing at the stage in his career that he's doing it with. But to carry on that team for that long, I don't know if he can do that. I think you need the top scorer in the league this year. You need Luka out there.
You need a commitment to the defensive end from everybody that's on the floor from you.
Yeah.
You have a great shot because Houston can kind of fall back and shoot themselves in the foot. But at the end, if they're going to be locked in, I think Houston probably will still be too much to not win that series. I'll go Houston in six. But it's kind of fun because we got LeBron and KD in the first round.
That is going to be fun.
It's probably maybe their fifth time meeting in the playoffs, and all the other times were NBA finals.
Yeah.
So here we go.
There you go. That should be really good. I think a lot depends on the Lakers getting back those two guys, though. Nuggets and Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves kind of fell off the radar a little bit near the end of the season, where on the other side, the Nuggets are winners of 12 straight, which is the longest in the Jokic era. You know me. I already love the Nuggets because they have my boy on there. They have my Lithuanian king, Jonas Valanciunas, who's not going to be in that play-in tournament. Who you like between the Nuggets and these T-Wolves?
Because of the championship cachet that's on the floor for Denver, We're talking Murray. We're talking Jokic. Mm-hmm. We're talking Gordon. We're talking Braun. We're talking yep. Didn't they bring back my man Brucey B?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You got five guys on the floor that won a championship together.
Brucey B actually played all 82 this year.
Yeah, he played all 82. So, mm-hmm. you know, and I mentioned this to Greg and Eli as well. Getting Aaron Gordon back for them gives them a third guy that can break down a defense and go create.
Yeah.
He can create for himself. He can create for others. Now he's confident enough to do that. And then you still, like I say, you got Christian Braun who can also do that in mm-hmm. just limited space. I think they're probably going to be too much for Minnesota. And unfortunately, I think it cost Chris Finch his job.
Mm. That could be an interesting turnout, but I think regardless, the Nuggets move on and they I don't want to say they dominate the series in kind of fear of sounding stupid, but
they could.
They,
I know what
they,
you're thinking.
They
yeah.
win it. They win it for sure. Obviously, Spurs in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City still playing as good as anybody in the country. I think a lot of people's favorites to go back-to-back, and it's not hard to see why. Anytime you win 60-plus games in an NBA season, you're good.
Very good.
You're a very good team. But I think, too, on the other side of that, the Spurs being the team that kind of had OKC's number this year, beat them, what, 3 out of 4 times this year?
3 out of 4, and then this is Wemby's first playoff.
Yeah.
The only somebody that I could think of that got it right from a superstar standpoint on their very first playoff was Magic.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of help around
him. He did. He did have a lot of help
now,
around him.
Now, Wemby's got a lot of help around him, and he's got, like you mentioned, a team that won 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really skip steps to get into a championship in this league unless you have that type of a freak athlete and that type of a freak player that can change the complete dynamic of a game. I was looking at a clip that I posted on Facebook from last year where they were here playing the Grizzlies.
Uh-huh.
And the Grizzlies had a 3-on-1. It was like Jaren, Brandon Clark, and I forgot who else was the third, against Wemby. And we didn't get a shot off.
Mm-mm.
On a 3-on-1 in transition. That's how dynamic this dude can really, like, affect and impact the game.
I think I saw a video from when Jokic went up against Wemby. I think it was last week or mm-hmm. something like that, where basically they saw if a shot can be made over Wemby, then that shot cannot be defended because Wemby can literally defend anything on the court. So
anything.
Yes. So to your point,
that is
when you have when you have that on your team, it is a cheat code and is a cheat weapon. So that's also why I'm not mad at hearing Terry Davis say that he likes the Spurs coming out of this thing. Me personally, I like the Nuggets for personal reasons, and
I wouldn't be mad at any of those three selections because you have those type of dynamic players that can change it in a heartbeat.
I think how everything's going to shape up this year, man. We're in a good little spot for the playoffs this year. It's going to be good. At least
epic
we have
series.
Yeah, I think so.
That we'll be talking about 5 years or so down the line. Oh, yeah. Like, yo, that was a great series.
Yeah, this is definitely the one to keep an eye on. But well, there you have it. There's the historian's breakdown of the NBA playoffs this year.
And
should
I gave it to y'all. I gave it to y'all earlier because we're doing this again tomorrow. YouTube.com/894feet of life at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you better believe it. Tune into that. But also, you better not leave this dial. You better not change the station because on the other side, we're going to be talking a lot of NFL. We're going to get Mo Schefter's thoughts on golf and the Masters and everything in between. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Back to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
Well, we're back into Happy Hour. Landon filling in for John today with my buddy, the historian, Jay Hamm. We just broke down everything in the NBA playoffs. Should be an exciting run this year. But we've been waiting all day for this. We have got to talk some golf. We've got to talk some Masters. And more importantly, we've got to talk the NFL with my man. I always miss out on talking with him, so I'm super excited to talk with him today. My man, Mo, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. It's always good to talk to you. I'm excited for this.
I'm excited for it, too. And just a quick correction. We are not in the morning anymore. We've officially entered the afternoon. So good afternoon to you. But first up and first and foremost, what were your biggest takeaways from the Masters? I know JM's told me you're a big golf guy. You had a little bit of a want to have a little bit of a watch party that unfortunately nobody turned up to. But you could have contacted me. I would have been there, been square, been had a great time with it. But how did you enjoy the Masters this year?
Okay, I'll keep that in mind, because for all four majors, I typically am on my couch for 4 days.
Yeah.
The Masters, because I'm still moving, I finally settled in Friday night, so I was able to listen to the first 2 days on the radio when I was driving, and then days three and days four, I watched in the comfort of my own home. Couple takeaways. Number one, I know this is who he is, but I just thought there was a couple of shots, especially yesterday, where Scotty was a little too safe.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, he's usually smart and conservative. I thought there was some safe shots that he took that is uncharacteristic of him.
Yeah.
And it's not the first time we've seen him in a certain spot, especially a major, just be a little too safe. So that's the first thing. The second thing, man, Justin Rose is living proof that if you can putt, you can compete in any major on any golf course in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he had a couple of rough wedges, and he was on the in the second cut on the 16th hole, and he had a horrible shot. Ended up getting a bogey on a 16, so that was a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made a couple of mistakes down the stretch, but he would have never even been in the position he was in if he wasn't just thinking putts, long-range putts.
Yeah.
Putts that I would say 80% of pros are on a regular basis to putt in.
Mm-hmm.
He's just stroking it in there. And then the third takeaway, especially in majors, experience matters.
Yes.
And Rory didn't do anything out of this world. He stayed the course. He played his game. He played all 72 holes. He made some big putts. He surely did. But I think when you see the way that Cam Young and Max and Sam Burns and all, some of these other guys just humbled and just could not stay in that 11 to 13 number, it just speaks to not only experience, but Augusta forces you to hit various shots.
Yeah.
And again, I think it shows where even last year when Scheffler had a pretty bad Masters appearance, he still ended up finishing in the top eight, you know. And so I just think with McIlroy's win, Scheffler being there, and Rose just putting his way into a top five finish, just shows those three big takeaways from you. It was a great tournament.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think it was a really good tournament. Speaking to those your three big takeaways, I think this is something that I talked with Darian a little bit about earlier today, was I think Scotty, typically what he does is he's going to finish every tournament phenomenally. His Saturday and his Sunday, he's going to play phenomenal. But his Thursday and his Friday is where he was really hiccuping, especially this year on a Friday. He played really, really poorly that day and just did not have it. And he basically set himself back really, really far. So if he, I mean, and but still, all the props in the world to him. He became the first player in 84 years to play bogey-free golf in the final round of the Masters. That is incredible.
Yeah.
And Darian even pointed out that champions haven't even done that, but Scotty has. I mean, he's clearly in a class all by himself. But I think if Scotty gets to a place where he consistently is coming out of the gate and performing really well and comes out of the gate and puts himself in a great position, because that was the big differential between Rory and everybody else, is that Rory came out of the gate playing great and then never relinquished control. The fact that he led at the end of each and every single day of this tournament speaks a lot to how he was going out there with a game plan that he was going to win and that nothing was going to stop him from doing so. So huge props to Rory for not relinquishing the lead. I think Scotty had an incredible round that he played, and that if he just sunk that little putt going to the playoff, I think Scotty probably would have had the edge on him. He got done a little bit quicker. It would have been more of a turnaround for Rory. But then you're getting into the territory of playing that what-if game. When it comes to Justin Rose, I think Justin Rose had maybe one of, if not the best shot. I cannot remember what hole it was on, but on Sunday, I think you know which one I'm talking about, where he was in the pine needles and he just slaps that thing and it rolls basically all the way over the green and like lands 11 inches from the hole to set up one of the greatest shots I think I've ever seen in golfing history from Justin Rose. So to your point, the guy was putting, but he was also putting himself in some great positions. He just had a few mistakes here and there, but still a huge shout out to Justin Rose and what he was able to do. And so this was also one of my other takeaways, and I just talked with Jay Ham about this too. When it comes to Cam Young, I think Cam Young gets a major this year. I don't know which one, but I think he gets one this year because I think he was in a spot where, yes, he was competing. He was doing really, really well. But on the other side of all that kind of stuff, I think Cam being so close in recent memory, like you said, about the experience on a platform like Augusta National. I mean, Rory obviously getting the monkey off of his back from last year. Coming into this year, you saw that he was playing a lot more relaxed. It's like he's been there. He knows what it takes to win. And so, I mean, like it was said, it's going to be a struggle to see if he ever loses this thing again. But yes, experience does really, really matter. So with all that being said, this was something that in the at the 10 o'clock show, Dave Woloshin mentioned this. He did a quick Google search of just like what Google has to say about the top 10 golfers of all time. And so the list pops up. It says Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Ben Hogan, Bobby Jones, Sam Snead, Gary Player, Tom Watson, Walter Hagen, Arnold Palmer, and Gene Sarazen. With those top 10 guys, how close is Rory to being in that top 10, or should he even deserve to be in that top 10 right now?
Well, I think most of those guys have more majors, if not all of them, because this is Rory's sixth major now.
Yeah.
So that should tie him with, just from my perspective, with the players that I watch, that should tie him with Phil.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's several things, because Rory's career is so interesting depending on your perspective.
Yeah.
Like, if you see it as, oh, he just choked away all these tournaments, okay, that's you. But I would say most people that say that are not avid golf fans. Like, I think people that understand the game of golf understand this is probably the hardest sport in the world. Because you have to be at your best. And even when you're at your best, you can't count on anybody else to carry you.
Yeah.
I think when you look at all his finishes, especially in majors, how well he's played, how well he's consistently played. Again, I don't think I am yet qualified to speak on where he lands on the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just say legacy-wise, back-to-back Masters now puts him with Jack and Tiger, and obviously Nick Faldo did it, but they don't have, he doesn't have the name status that Tiger and Jack do.
Right.
And like he said, like the when he won the Grand Slam and by winning the Masters last year,
yeah,
people thought that was like going to be his swan song, and he was like, no, like I still have a lot of golf left. He said, I thought it would be a culmination of my journey, turned out to be just the start of my journey.
Yeah.
So I and me personally, Landon, I try not to bring other sports narratives into golf because it's a different sport.
This is a safe space. Go ahead.
I'm saying like I don't like people that say, oh, well, Jordan has more than LeBron, you know,
right.
Montana never lost in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to bring that type of narrative to golf,
right,
is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's just way too pure of a sport.
Oh, yeah.
But I think legacy-wise, impact-wise, recognition-wise, there is no one that can downplay how important of a figure Rory is to golf.
Yeah. Would you say right now Scotty is a better golfer than Rory?
So my boy is struggling a little bit, you know?
Yeah, but if you look at the way that's going to happen.
Right. And if you looked at the way he played Saturday and Sunday, that is the best golfer in the world.
Yeah.
I like Rory, obviously. Rory played great. But, you know, I don't think we'll see Rory win, like, the Players or the Travelers or the U.S. Open. You know, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think what you'll see in the other majors and the other even signature tournaments is no matter what, you know, on Sunday, you got to keep an eye on, okay, well, where's Scheffler on the leaderboard?
Yeah.
And I just think, like I said, outside of maybe two or three shots that I felt he was a little too conservative, he's an assassin with an iron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I still think he's and then two things. I think last year you saw him at towards the tail end regain his putting form, and also this year you're noticing he's swinging a little harder and the ball speed is a little higher. So I think with Scotty, it's only a matter of time before he catches it, and he might have caught it with how he played Saturday and Sunday in the Masters.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, too, when it comes to those kind of lists, if we're still debating Scotty Rory right now, and Scotty's not even being mentioned in that top 10 list right now, then I think it's pretty clear that maybe Rory's not quite there yet. Maybe he's entering a little bit closer, like you said, with his legacy, what he has been able to do with the sport. Scotty may be a little bit newer. But I think, too, if you're having that debate right now and neither one of them are really being considered, then I don't know. I think you have your answer right there. But, Mo, we got to hit a break real quick on the other side. We're switching up everything. Loved talking golf with you. We're going to have to do that again. But on the other side, we're going to be breaking down this NFL draft, okay?
Yes, sir.
Perfect.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Well, we've got Mo sticking with us on the other side for our last little segment of the day. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
4.9-liter V8, 0-60, and I'm about to find out.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
All right, we have the NFL draft coming up just right around the bend, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about it. So let's not waste any time and get right into this thing, Mo. Obviously, the first pick of the draft this year, kind of similar to last year, seems like it's a shoe-in that we're going to have a quarterback going in the first round. Do you still like Fernando Mendoza to be that guy going to Las Vegas?
100%, and this isn't even like, well, this is my expert opinion based on what I'm reading. No, like, Landon, I'm reading that basically in these Raiders interviews with Mendoza, I'm reading that they're not interviews. They're inserting the playbook already with him.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is, you know, this is the worst kept secret in the world. They are going to take Mendoza, no questions asked. And again, I'll give Brady credit on he's not being hypocritical with everything he said about developing quarterbacks and them not starting in year one. And he's going to get Kirk Cousins for that reason. So
yeah,
there is actual reason for optimism heading into this draft for Raiders fans. And if you know anything about the Raiders draft history, just go back like the last 15, 20 years and see the player that was drafted after their first
what
round
they
selection.
Missed out on has been atrocious.
The names are insane.
Oh, it's so bad. So hopefully, like you're saying, they get this one right because it seems like the pieces are coming together for the Raiders. Brock Bowers, I believe, is one of the best tight ends in the NFL until he proves me otherwise. I think once you get a better offensive line to help out Ashton Jeanty, he's going to start getting rolling. I mean, they've made moves in the right direction. My biggest question right now to you is why is it that Kirk Cousins, no matter where he goes, just undeniably is almost a guarantee that he's going to sign a contract for $100 million?
He's got a great agent, you know.
Best agent. I mean, the dude hasn't done a lot, but he's getting a bag everywhere he goes.
I don't know why, but when I think of Kirk Cousins' agent, I think of the dude from Brewster's Millions. Wasn't that John Candy with him? I'm pretty sure it was John Candy.
That was John Candy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just, I don't know why. That's exactly
you're probably
my mind
right
goes.
On the money. Very, very.
But, you know, he's good from the pocket. He's very smart. I mean, look, like, Brian Hoyer had a job in this league for almost, what, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, great.
Just
great
because
point.
He's, you know, he was good at being in the room, in the quarterback room.
Yeah.
So you take the IQ that Kirk Cousins has, along with the fact that he's a serviceable quarterback and he can still do it from the pocket purely and be effective. And really, it's basically a two-year, $40 million deal for the Raiders. It's 2 years, like $30 million, because the Raiders or the Falcons are paying a part of that.
Yeah.
He's never going to reach year three where all that money starts to kick in. They did this strictly for salary cap purposes. So it's really a two-year, $40 million deal, and the Falcons are paying for part of it. So it's a bargain for the Raiders, and it guarantees Kirk Cousins $40 million over the next 2 years. That's a win-win.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, anything's better than what we saw out of Geno Smith last year. So they're only moving up. All right, so the number two pick right now is going to the New York Jets. Who do you like for the Jets to take here?
They can – I think they're going to go with David Bailey.
Yeah.
Out of Texas Tech. I think that's what they're going to go. But Arville Reese is obviously going to be very polarizing to see where he ends up. But just knowing the Jets, you know, the Leonard Williams, the Muhammad Wilkersons, the Sheldon Rankins.
Yep.
We can even go a little further than that. I think he's the perfect mold to sort of be that next staple defensive lineman from the Jets.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I was reading some reports that the Jets were saying one of their biggest needs could be a wide receiver, so they might look in the direction of Carnell Tate. I'm not entirely sure. So because of time restraints, we're just going to overlook the Arizona Cardinals, which everybody should be doing regardless. What should my Titans do? Give it to me, Mo.
Listen, call me crazy, call me sentimental. You have Eddie Foreman, Derrick Henry, CJ2K. Let's add Jeremiah Love to that Titans legacy, baby.
Add it to the legacy. I agree with you 1,000,000%, because that is the place where running backs excel and exceed. They have the history. They have everything else involved with it. Add Jeremiah Love to that. The dude is a freaking train and can run through anything at any point. I'm exactly with you, Mo. It is always a pleasure talking with you. Hopefully next time we get to talk, we'll have a little bit more time. But you have a blessed day, my friend.
You as well, my brother.
Awesome. That is Mo Schefter. And that is all the time we have. Enjoy your day.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.